Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And good morning, everyone. Thank you and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral. Also, a word of welcome to all our families and friends who are following us through television, the internet, and also radio. We gather this week, as every week, to give thanks and praise to God, also to listen to His words of wisdom. In today's Gospel, we hear how the tax collectors, in his humility, prayed God for mercy, and he went home justified. To prepare ourselves to celebrate this Eucharist, and let us ask the Lord's mercy to forgive us our trespasses, and ask the Lord for pardon and strength. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges right justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord. Amen.
cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise of him is always in my mouth. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. His face against the wicked, to destroy the remembrance from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears and rescues them in all their distress. Close to the brokenhearted, those whose spirit is crushed, he will save. The Lord ransoms the souls of his servants. All who trust in him shall not be condemned.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
and entrusting to us the message of salvation. From the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
I have some difficulties memorizing my homilies for this week, and perhaps I contribute to two reasons. First is maybe because I'm getting a little bit older and my memory is not as sharp. The second is perhaps I'm still suffering from jet lag. It's been 10 days, but I keep getting it at 2 in the morning, so it's been a long day for me already, and so maybe it's disturbing my short-term memories. Either way, yesterday I made the decision that if it doesn't go well, I'm just going to stand at the amble and read the notes from the homilies to you today instead. But then I thought, it's really not about what I say, it's about what the Holy Spirit prompting me to say. So I hope the Holy Spirit is working. That's a saying that I really like. It goes something like this: every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. It's not only a catchy saying for a book, a title for a book, but perhaps it also perfectly illustrates today's gospel about the Pharisees and the tax collectors went to the temple to pray. Now, none of us would identify with the Pharisees, who was pompous, arrogant, and proud. He went to the temple to pray, but actually he didn't pray. He didn't ask God for anything at all. He would read the scriptures carefully. Now, all of us would really identify with the tax collectors, who was humble, who was remorseful, and repentant. And perhaps that gives us the reason as to why we are here. All of us, although we gather here each and every week, but we have a profound feeling of being unworthy to be here. But then we thought about it, and we said, well, if we don't come here, we might get even worse. And so that's why we're here every week. As you know, that we are in the end of the year of mercy, and we are encouraged to always live our lives seeking God for His mercy. As the saying goes, always live our life under God's mercy. The Pharisees who went to the temple today to pray. But really he's not praying as to asking God for anything at all. He was actually boasting, delighting in God's presence of how good he was. We notice he said he kept all the commandments. He didn't steal, he didn't kill, he didn't commit adultery. And then he added, he prayed every day, he fasted twice a week, and he gave tithes to all his earnings. Aside from his being boastful and arrogant and pompous, he would have been an ideal Christian or Catholic. I would love to have him in this parish. Because he kept all the commandments. How many of us can honestly raise our hand and say, I kept all the commandments in my life and never break one of them? We all have. And yet he kept them all. And then he prayed every day. Sometimes we only pray once a week on Sunday, and the rest of the time we don't even remember God at all. And then he fasted twice a week. As Catholics, we only require to fast twice a year, on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And even then we complained, this is too much to ask. I can't fast twice a year, that's too much. And then he gave 10% of all his earnings. As Catholics in general, we tithe about 1.5 to 2%. That's it. Some of us might be a little bit more better at it, and we get up there maybe 5, 6% tops. But here this man, he tithe 10% of everything. He would have been an ideal Catholic. But he didn't come to the temple to pray. He was proud. He stood erect, head unbowed, telling God how good he is. He didn't ask for anything, so he went home empty-handed. The tax collectors, on the other hand, came to the temple. He was known as sinners. As a matter of fact, during that time, all tax collectors were considered sinners, traitors, robbers, because they have sold themselves out to the oppression of the Romans, working for the enemies, betraying his own countrymen and his country as well. He had the backing of the Roman soldiers who were standing right behind his tables, and every day when the Jewish people came to pay their taxes, he could demand any amount he wanted to, and the people would came trembling, paying their taxes, fearing the soldiers standing behind them. So sinners was a correct title attributed to them. And knowing that he was indeed a sinner, not worthy to be in God's presence, he stood from a distance, not even dare raise his eyes up to the heavens, but looking down, pounding his chest, and utter the words, famous words of repentance, Lord God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. That's the very phrase where we still use it after confessions, if we don't remember the longer form. I always tell people, just remember that, that'd be enough. God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Centuries later, his words of repentance still being repeated by those who seeking God's mercy. The tax collectors came asking God for mercy, and he received mercy. He went home justified and forgiven. I'm sure we have met and faced people in our lives where they might say that they have committed something so bad and so grave that they don't feel worthy to come into the church because they're afraid God might not accept them. And we perceive as holy people who pray, who worship every week, might not welcome them. So they don't come. To them, perhaps we could say to them, been there, done that, still doing it. So come and join us, because God is changing us from sinners into saints. All those consecrated people who are known to be holy, such as Pope John Paul II, saint now, or Saint Teresa of Calcutta, when they were alive, we met them. Perhaps we've seen them on TV and met them in person. They never cease seeking God's mercy. They seek God's mercy in the confessions, if not once a week, it's once a month. People often ask me, how often do the priests confess? Well, ideally, it's once a month. The bishop, I think, it's about once a week. The Holy Father, once a day. And we call him the Holy Father. And yet, he seeks God's mercy every day. Christmas is about 2 months from now. Now, don't panic yet. I'm not preaching about Christmas. But during Christmas, we have a lot of people. They'll come to Mass that Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Some would come only for that day to see things just for sentimental reason, listen to the nice, beautiful melodies of music, seeing all the bright lights, the smelling of pines, the beautiful color of poinsettias. And I would sometimes lovingly call them, though I shouldn't, my CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. But they would come just for that day. Now, for others, they come too, but they feel that they're not worthy to come because of their sinfulness. But they come. And these people are not stranger to us. Actually, we know them very well. They are our immediate neighbors, spouses, grown children, grandchildren, friends, co-workers, and they come hoping to give the church another look. Hopefully that we will extend that invitation to them, telling them that indeed God, if we put our hands in God's hands, he will lift us up. And we no longer allow to look down at ourselves and see our sinfulness, but to look up and see how wonderful, how loving God is. As the saying goes, God loves us much more than we can ever sin. There's no sin that we can commit it that God cannot forgive. And so the saying goes, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. That should give us hope. That should give them hope too. The first Christian community during Jesus' time or after that, shortly after that, they call themselves the community of saints. Not because they were holier than we are today, but because they realize how loving, how merciful God is, and God has made them to become saints. We too are called to be just that and nothing less. As to the question, why were we created? We created so that we might know him, love him, serve him in this life, and to be with him in the next. What does it mean to be with him in the next but to be saints? So we are called to be saints, not just in the future, today, along with all our families and friends. Let us now stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. and rose again on the third day. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds, so let us now pray for all our sisters and brothers in need.
That the prayers of the Holy Church of God be a model of simplicity and humility for all the world to emulate, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our faith community emulate God in hearing and responding to the cry of the oppressed, of widows and orphans, and of the lowly in our midst, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all religious sisters who have shown God's face of mercy in many ways to the people of our country and throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the humility to seek God's mercy during this Jubilee Year of Mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of the deceased members of the Mew family, Nathaniel Garcia, Yolanda Salazar Robinson, Joseph P. Miller, and a special prayer for Nick Moscone. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. O merciful God, you have stood by us and given us strength. Continue to hear our prayers and rescue us. For this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice of Jesus for the praise and glory of His name, for our good and good of all this holy church. Look, we pray, O Lord, on the offerings we make to your majesty, that whatever is done by us in your service may be directed above all to your glory, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you lay the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You form man in your own image and sets humanity over the whole world in all its wonder. To rule in your name over all you who have made and forever praise you in your mighty works through Christ our Lord. And so with all the angels we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rise of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of
God. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace be with you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter my body, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.